I'm Ryan Dombrowski.
I'm the Ninja Fat Man from Doom Ninja Podcast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopX Cast.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. This is PopX Cast number 39, coming to you live right here on PopX.live. Lindsay Badger.
Hey!
There's a tree behind me.
How was the turkey day? How was your turkey day, first of all, before we jump into that holiday?
Okay. Turkey day was really awesome. I didn't have to cook.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, so.
I'll one up you. I didn't have to cook because I had two Thanksgivings.
Wait, you had double the pleasure,
turkey? I had a Thursday Thanksgiving, and then we had one last night, Saturday.
What?
So I didn't have to cook twice. We had double the turkey, double the awesomeness. Even pumpkin pie with the extra whipped cream on top, because you know you can't finish off a Thanksgiving without pumpkin pie.
Great Scott, Marty.
I know, it was glorious.
All right, so Alex and I last week we were up in South Carolina. Last year we were up in South Carolina with some family, and you know they provided the turkey, they provided the ham. It was really awesome. And this year, you know, just coming off the stems of the New York trip, we were like, oh, I'm really tired, and I do not want to dirty up the kitchen. So we catered out and got some catered turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and rolls and all the pumpkin pie and all that stuff. So we didn't have to do anything. We just, you know, it is.
That's the way to do it.
Hodgepodge. I want a little turkey. I want a little bit of this. So, yeah, it was really nice. We had leftovers.
It's the holiday that keeps on giving.
And tooting, by the way. I mean, what is it with holiday stuffing?
What is it with you and that?
I mean, it's just like the more stuffing I eat, I was hovering over the driveway. I didn't even have to get the weed blower out to like blow the leaves.
You got to watch this guy.
I just bent over because I don't know what it is about holiday. I think it's a sage. Personally, I think it's a combination of sage and celery. It's explosive.
It's a magical thing.
But
we have to keep you away from the open fires.
it's really cool though. We got up on Thanksgiving morning and we watched the Macy's Day Parade. And of course, Alex is a huge dog lover, so we watched the National Dog Show, which was really fun.
Okay.
And it was really neat because we were able to see the Rockefeller tree with the scaffolding down. As you know, you guys recall, I was in New York just last week, mm-hmm. and we got to see it with the scaffolding, and they're putting the lights and the bulbs and all the ornaments on it. And so it was really neat to see because they were broadcasting from both locations, Rockefeller and Broadway. But then this happened. So there's a massive tree behind me, and I don't know what's going on there, but it's a massive tree. I want to give a shout out right quick. We got Doug Hawks, joining us. We got Luke hanging out, and we got my buddy from Blue Man Group, Zach Bloom, hanging out in the chat. What is up, my friend? He's hanging out in the live PopX.live chat room. All right, guys. So you had a good Thanksgiving? Did you do?
We had a great Thanksgiving.
Black Friday.
I did online Black Friday.
Okay.
I did end up going into a store, but it was just to go straight to guest services, pick up a toy, and I booked it out of there. I was thankful I got a nice parking spot, and I didn't want anything else to do with that holiday.
Okay.
It was crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, we did a little bit of shopping this weekend, but not a lot. I didn't want to get out in the middle of all the crazy. We did end up getting our Christmas tree up, but the tree decided to stop working in sections, so we're going to have to go to the store later and finish that project another time.
I saw something this weekend, and we'll get right on into our show here, but I saw something this weekend that kind of really made me lose faith in humanity when you find over a $2.99 pillow from Kohl's. I was like, really? I was like, really? You're fighting over a pillow?
That's a literal
that
face
is, it, it's just like, and it's one of those cheap pillows that are like flat, hurts your neck, no contour, no shape, no neck support, nothing. It's just a cheap pillow. And people are fighting over a $2.99 pillow. I'm like, seriously?
I'll give them my pillow. I'll go buy a
God bless
later.
Them. If they need a pillow, I'll take care of them. Hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joe Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live right here in the PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation.
Yeah, and you guys will notice that Austin's not here tonight.
Yeah, well, this is a story within a story within another story. Austin was bit by a radioactive spider and has now been stuck on the ceiling for 4 days. No, I'm just messing, but he was. Austin was bit by a black widow, not once, but twice. Austin.
The poor guy.
You have the worst luck.
So you said his hand is like the size of a football tonight, right?
Yeah, he's got football hand. I mean, he couldn't canoodle himself if he tried right now. So it's just like he's...
Keep it safe for the kids now.
Canoodling is not a bad word. You can take it any way you want to. Okay. So, but Austin is in a lot of, he's in a bad shape right now. So,
well, you guys, I am Lindsay Badger, your favorite Geeky Okie, and we are going to steer this show true all the way to the end with just the two of us, and it'll be just as fun. We miss you, Austin, and we hope we get to see you again next week. If you missed last week's episode, episode 38, you guys missed out on a good one. We went over everything Luke Cage, and if you missed it and you want to see it again, or you just want to see it over and over again because it's that good, go back and make sure you check it out on our official website, popxcast.com. Also, while you're checking out all of our stuff, make sure you head over to Google Play or iTunes and click the subscribe button to catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating and a review. And we would certainly appreciate all the love that you give us.
Anyway.
Yes, guys.
All right. So are you ready to get this news going?
Let's get it.
All right. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PopX News, coming to you live, right here on PopXcast.com.
Well, this has become a trend for 2016, and I hate to bring you this news. I mean, 2016 has been the worst year for Hollywood.
I think
that I can remember. I mean, it was just, Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson was bad. That was a bad year, but this has just been a terrible year. So many greats, and just leading it off on the top, some even more sad news starting the week. Brady Bunch star and America's Mom, beloved Florence Henderson, has passed away on Friday from heart complications. She was 82 years young. Florence got her start on NBC's Today Show and was a regular on Hollywood Squares game show, and she even had her own show. Oh, who didn't love Florence Henderson?
She had like the biggest smile on the planet.
And, warm. I mean, it was just warmth. She oozed warmth and just she had that motherly instinct. And I think that's what so many people connected to her on the Brady Bunch, because she not only acted it, she lived it out in real life. But she had her own show on the morning show in the early 2000s. And she was even on Dancing with the Stars in 2010.
I remember that.
So
remember that.
She... God bless her.
My heart goes out to her family. I hate it. Anybody's lost, even a famous loss, you know. I have more people born for the fans and whatnot. But.
So with the negative out of the way, we're moving forward now.
Yes. Well, in 2017, TNT will be bringing back the iconic Crypt Keeper in the new Tales from the Crypt.
What?
The new show will not be as violent as the and gory as the original HBO series, but will be some of the stories from the original comics. So that's kind of cool, because I remember this guy literally giving me nightmares when I was a kid. It so I'm glad that he's going to give my kids nightmares now. So it's kind of like a generational pass down.
His voice was kind of a mix between Mark Hamill's Joker and...
I was going to say, he sounds a lot
like Tales from the Crypt Keeper. So, it was pretty awesome, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway. So
you should totally do
that. See, I'm doing Mark Hamill's Joker as if it was Mark Hamill, but anyway, you know. But this is kind of cool. This is kind of cool. I think this is great because they're doing the stories from the comics and not stories written specifically for television. I think that's going to be a nice twist.
It will be a nice twist.
I think it's
sure.
a nice twist because some of the comic stories are actually really classic. And so if they hit some of those old classic storylines, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a game changer because it's not just one story. It's multiple series. So they can't just do one.
I can see them bringing back the old episodes too as reruns.
Or tying into some of the old ones, the old favorites, the ones that people remember. I remember one that was like the lady who was sawed in half, and then the guy who was selling the ice cream, and he was actually selling body parts out. I was like, what? This is crazy. Who does that?
Yeah, this is totally not my genre.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. But
fun.
Anyway, Pixar, moving on to some really cool news this week. We got dropped down that Pixar released their first ever teaser trailer for Cars 3. And it shows some pretty cool footage of a race. And Lightning McQueen is getting involved in a terrible wreck. And after seeing plenty of sparks flying around, McQueen is flying upside down on the screen before slamming back down to the ground. At the end of the trailer, there's words that read, "From this moment, everything will change." So the film is scheduled to be released in summer of 2017. Lindsay Batter, do you think that Lightning McQueen is going to be injured, or do you think he's going to get a new body or come back as a different make?
It's really hard to tell with Pixar because sometimes they do tragedies.
Yeah.
But they turn it around to where it's like, it's okay. You don't have to be in the spotlight to be a winner, you know, that kind of thing. So you never know what's going to happen.
Well,
I think that
we saw Up, which makes me cry every time I watch Up. I can't watch that movie.
Some of the Pixar movies you can't watch even 1,000 times without crying, at least a little bit. So I don't know. I think maybe he'll retire from the professional racing and find some kind of other life purpose.
Doug in the chat room says, "Make cars great again."
maybe he'll turn himself into a Tesla.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be huge.
He'll become the next electric race car.
That's my best Donald. That's my best Donald Trump. Anyway,
okay,
it's all right.
Moving on.
Anyway.
All right. Well, let's move on to Marvel Comics has announced its first post Inhumans versus X-Men Resurrection series. Yes. Series to feature the Inhumans. The new series is titled Royals and will star the Inhuman royal family as they leave Earth and journey into outer space. And it will be launching in April 2017.
Very interesting. So this is going to be some cool new story arcs that they're exploring with the Inhumans. And I'm sure this is going to be coinciding with the Inhumans on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. I mean, I'm sure that... this may tie in. It may not. I don't know. But it's going to be really interesting as the Inhuman royal family journey out into space. Will they collide with Guardians of the Galaxy? Who will they face? Who will they see? Interesting.
That
Very interesting.
Cool.
Yes.
Really cool.
So moving forward here, starting on Monday, November the 28th,
tomorrow.
Which is tomorrow.
Kind of excited about it.
The four-show crossover that we have been talking about
over the past
4 or 5 months. We were talking about it when it was like, oh, we're getting ready to see a crossover, all four shows.
The aliens are invading. The aliens are here.
Yes. The CW has released a poster for each of the shows, and when the posters are joined together, the background is presumably the new Star Labs facility. Oh, look at that.
Can I just for a minute say, with our powers combined,
by your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet.
He's out here. Anyway, sorry.
No, that's cool, though. I would love to have all those posters and just put them on my wall right next to each other. That'd be great.
But it has an uncanny resemblance to the Hall of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that? I mean, there's a video game on the PlayStation 4. It's Injustice Gods Among Us, which is where you are DC characters fighting each other. And there's one map. It's called the Hall of Justice. And I swear this looks exactly like the Hall of Justice from the video game Injustice. It's crazy. So it's a fighting game. It's along the lines of like Mortal Kombat, but it's superheroes.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Awesome. Well, we're going to shift over to Marvel again.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige.
Feige.
See, I can't even say
Kevin
it now.
Feige.
You've already told me.
Feige.
Anyways, that guy, he closed the door on X-Men in the MCU.
Oh.
During an interview, he was asked if they could partner with Fox as they did with Sony for Spider-Man. And he said that it's an impossibility at this juncture, and we certainly have enough films to keep us busy for a number of lifetimes. So it's pretty much no more X-Men right now, or probably ever, according to him.
In a perfect
what do you feel
world,
about that?
In a perfect world,
Are you
I would.
With that?
In a perfect world,
X-Men
honestly,
had a really good run.
I would love to see Hugh Jackman with Chris Evans and Hemsworth. Side by side, Logan, as it was meant to be in the comics, but this stupid licensing thing, man. Marvel.
It's kind of ruined it all.
Well,
they kind of
did it to themselves pretty much back in the day, because when Marvel was venturing into the cinematic, they needed to seek out studios to be able to actually house their films, and Fox was one of them. Sony was got Spider-Man. They're like, okay, so if we go to Sony, they can do Spider-Man, and that'll be really good. And they can also do Fantastic Four, and then Fox, you know, come in and man, it's just now it's a nightmare that Marvel can't come back from. I mean, they were able to make negotiations with Sony in terms of Spider-Man, but X-Men is so far in now, it's impossible to keep that going.
No backpedaling on that.
No
one.
Backpedaling. So, unfortunately, these are strange times that we live in.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, from Marvel Studios with that news, all the way over to Star Wars, Rogue One in just a few. Oh my God, seriously, who is not excited for this movie? The robot is freaking cute in this movie.
He's pretty darn adorable.
And you know what I like about him? He kind of looks like what a robot would look like in like a golden age era.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's kind of steampunky a little bit.
A little steampunky. I like it. Yeah. Yeah. It's got an edgy steampunk vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And so Zach Bloom over in the chat room, what do you guys think about Doug? And we got Luke. So what do you guys think about the new Star Wars movie coming out in just a couple of weeks? Let us know what you think, and we will definitely. Zach says, "You know I'm all over this." It's really cool. So, early box office projections show that the film is on track to have a $130 million opening weekend here in North America. The film officially hits theaters on December the 16th. Advanced ticket presales have begun for November the 28th at 12:01 a.m. And so, I know myself and Mr. Doug Hawks over in the chat room. We will be. You know, me and you got that thing. You know what I'm saying? Got a little bro night.
All the geeky thing.
Got a little bro night going ahead. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Look forward to that. So it's going to be cool. And I'll try to see if I can take if he's photogenic and allow me to take one. I'll see if I can get a picture for PopEx Cast for the fall.
Oh, that would be so cool, Doug. Please play along and let us take your picture.
Yeah, it's okay.
That would be awesome. I got a thumbs up.
Okay. So Zach says, we'll see. Number one, we need to hear Vader's voice. Otherwise, the major letdown for fans. I could, you know what? Yeah, I got to hear James Earl Jones.
Got to have a little Vader.
All right, so this week's PopEx Hit It of the Week. Oh, my God.
And now it's time for PopEx's
Hit It of the Week. Hold on a minute. Before we dive into that, we got one more thing.
Okay.
CW is going to be shaking it up on the primetime.
Yeah.
With their superhero lineup, because they're going to be shifting up the DC Legends of Tomorrow from Thursdays at 8 over to Tuesday at 9 to follow The Flash starting in January. They're trying so hard. This is their last-ditch effort to save the show, as it's lost half of its viewers since the premiere of season two, which is really sad because I actually enjoy the show quite a bit. So
I actually did like the show.
Yeah. So hopefully moving it to a new time slot that buckles right behind The Flash, people will stick around and watch it.
It's kind of like Doctor Who meets superheroes. You know, yeah. It's kind of like Marty and McFly. You know, they're in the time machine. They're going around. They're bouncing around. And at the end of the day, though, you can really, truly only time jump so much.
Do you think it's because Rip Hunter's not in there anymore? I'm thinking that's probably what lost the main interest.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know.
But, I mean, they still go on fantastic adventures.
But is he genuinely dead?
Adam has lost his suit, so he basically hangs out on the ship all day.
Is he genuinely dead, though?
I don't think he is. I don't think he'll make an appearance, but he hasn't made an appearance yet.
There's no signs of life at this point.
Plus, we lost, I can't remember his name. The freeze guy. I totally lost his name right now.
Dr.
I was really upset to not have him back. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's a couple of things that they changed this season that I can see why they've lost some interest. But it's still a really good, solid show. So I hope that they stick around for at least one more season.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully they can salvage it. I mean, it's not a bad show, I don't think. But I think it's getting definitely overshadowed by Flash and Arrow and now Supergirl. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there, and it's a lot for people to keep up with. And at the end of the day, when you have four shows competing for the limelight, one of them is going to be inferior to the other ones. So, you know, and I think that's where DC's Legends of Tomorrow is kind of falling into that bandwagon. Yeah. But so moving on from that into this week's PopX Hit It of the Week.
Let's play it again.
Here we go. It's time for PopX's of the Week.
All right, so Mark Hamill's pop culture quest is making waves around the internet. And if you have not seen this show, oh my God, Lindsay Badger, she turned me on to this show. It is freaking amazing. It's 20 minutes that you will not regret of watching. And it's a really fun ride at the heart of pop culture as he guides Mark Hamill himself on these journeys, viewers on amazing geeky things. And the first episode opens up with him going into the secret vault at DC Comics, and he gets to actually see the print editions of Batman #1, the print edition of the Action Comics #1, the first appearance of Superman,
and the house copies,
the ones that actually have the side paper on it that actually went to the printers. It's cool. It is really cool. Yeah.
They have trays of like alternate endings and like concept art on the walls everywhere. And just like, it's the coolest thing ever. If you're even slightly interested in comics, you need to watch this show, at least the first episode, and get your geek on, because it'll open your eyes to so many cool things you get to see inside the lobby of the DC offices, which Joe and I looked it up after we watch this show, and they do not do public tours. So this is the only way you'll get to actually see what the DC offices look like on the inside.
Unless you know someone that works inside there. And I don't know anyone, so I don't think I'll ever be able to grace that beautiful place.
And he's going to be covering other topics too. This was just the first episode. I think episode 2 just came out, and it's about old toys like Godzilla, I think, was the main focus. But there was some other toys mentioned in there too. And he's got some other things on the lineup. And a bonus point, there's a puppet that is his co-host.
His companion.
His companion of the show. So, you know, you get a little bit of a Jim Henson flair thrown in there.
So, for more information, be sure to check out his Facebook page, which is kind of, I want to say, is central point for most of his publicity. It's facebook.com/popculturequest. And he also is streaming on the Comic-Con HQ network. So if you're subscribed to that, you can also get each episode as it's released at that moment in streaming beautiful 4K quality. So that is this week's PopX Hit It of the Week. And with that said, we're going straight into this week's special feature, which is origin stories. Now, Lindsay Badger came up with the idea of doing an origin story series after we finish up with our comics history of comics series, which will be next week. It will be our final part 4 series. So with that said, we are going to dive into this week's origin stories of Well, we saw Batman versus Superman. We saw a glimpse of Aquaman. We saw just a little glimpse of him. But not a lot of people, unless you've watched like Smallville and you've seen him appear in those quick six episodes on Smallville, or you've seen him in Justice League animated series on television, you might not know much about Tom Curry, the guy behind Aquaman. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to unpack that. The reason why is next year we get Justice League, and that's going to be coming out into theaters. And so we want to prepare you that way you can. All right, so who's Aquaman? I mean, I've seen him in the comics. I never read one of his comics. Most people are either like on the fence between, you know, well, is it Aquaman or is it Green Lantern? Where am I going to go? You know, so most people are on the fence between the two of those. A lot of people doesn't know. And with Killer Croc as well, we always do a hero and a villain. So we're going to do origin stories of a hero and origin stories of a villain. This week's villain is going to be Killer Croc. As you know, he appeared in Suicide Squad, and they didn't really go into origin story. Did you notice
he was
that?
Like a brief mention? Yeah. But you could tell he had a sign of intelligence. He was more than just a reptile. So it was kind of an interesting character that needed to be explained a little
so
more.
So what we're going to do, since Suicide Squad came out and since Justice League is coming out in a year or so, we're going to go ahead and start doing these. And we're also going to be doing one on X-Men, which we already have planned because we already know that they're planning one around Logan, which is going to be dropping, and then Deadpool as well. So we're going to be doing one on Mr. Sinister and possibly maybe Domino, which is Deadpool's lover slash companion. So
just before we dive in too deep, if you guys have any suggestions on characters that you want us to dive deep into, we can definitely add them to the list and see about getting them thrown into the schedule. That would be awesome.
So with that further said ado, let's go ahead and start up with Aquaman here. And let's just start with his powers and abilities. I mean, you have to start right off the top. I mean, he is a god, first and foremost. Aquaman is a god. Aquaman has a number of superhuman powers, most of which has been inherited from his Atlantean origins, and he has ability to live in the depths of the ocean floor. Although most Atlanteans possess the same abilities as Arthur, his royal lineage and double heritage makes him superior to any other Atlantean. Aquaman is, for all intents and purposes, a super Atlantean, allowing him to breathe outside of water longer than his normal Atlantean friends. And he possesses a great amount of superhuman powers that follows. And this is just a list of his superhuman powers. And I got these from his little action cards. It's really great. So I know. I'm pulling this so geeky moment right now.
So geeky, but it's awesome.
Narc. Superhuman strength, superhuman durability. He has stamina. He can heal himself really quickly. Not like Wolverine or Deadpool, but he can heal really quickly. I think along the lines of Superman. He has superhuman reflexes, speed, and agility. He does do a superhuman jump, much like, not to the extent of the Incredible Hulk, but kind of close. And enhanced senses and sonar. Yes, Aquaman has sonar built right into that brain. He has marine telepathy, which means he can communicate with all marine life in the ocean.
Wow.
He has underwater adaptation, which means he can breathe and live underwater. He is a master swimmer, expert combatant, and he can expect – he's kind of an expert tactician and leader as well. And did I mention he's a god? He's royalty? Holy cow. And he owns Poseidon's trident, and he has the god Poseidon's blessing. Holy cow.
He's like an underwater Superman without the like laser vision.
He is. And it's so right off the bat. So that is Aquaman. I mean, he is one dude you do not want to mess with. He can summon the giant squids and the whales and anything that's in the ocean. He can summon it and talk to it and communicate with it and let it do its bidding. So according to his first origin story, Aquaman, a.k.a. Arthur Curry, was a son of Atlanna, and she is an Atlantean princess banished from Atlantis due to her interest in a frequent visits to the surface world, and Tom Curry, a surface man and lighthouse keeper. One night amidst a terrible storm, Tom Curry would find Atlanna thrown up on shore by a storm, tossed waves, and rescued her from harm. Both Curry and Alana made the lighthouse their home and developed a strong bond that would quickly lead to a sentimental relationship, which in turn would lead to the birth of one Arthur Curry.
Aw, that's such a sweet little love story. You know what it reminds me of, right?
What's that?
It reminds me of Ariel in The Little Mermaid.
I was going to say Notebook, but yeah, you can say Ariel.
I mean, it totally looks like Ariel swimming up to the surface, falling in love with a prince, except for the royalties just kind of flipped. But, you know, I mean, it's just...
look at that vintage print there with the halftone print. No.
Wrong movie.
Okay, anyway.
Anywho. All right, well, Tom Curry accepted his relationship with Atlana, and though he always knew that there was more to her than she would let on, he never asked her about her origins. After Arthur was born, all of that became even more irrelevant as his presence there cemented the bond between the two of them. 2 years after his birth, young Arthur was found by his father playing underwater after he'd apparently been there for over an hour without drowning. Now, if I was the parent,
that's
I would
a bit freaky dicky. That's
out.
A bit freaky dicky.
I'd be like, oh yeah. My God.
Yeah, look at that.
That would freak me out. Okay, well, several years later, both Tom and Arthur himself would learn the truth of Atlana's origins, as she would reveal that she came from a lost continent of Atlantis while she lay on her deathbed. Atlana would also reveal to Arthur that he had inherited her ability to live and breathe underwater, as well as her power to communicate with and control all marine life.
Mm.
So let's see. He's like, what, 2-3 years old at this point?
And he's already.
Is that right?
And yeah, he's kind of already falling.
How do you swallow that pill whenever you're a toddler?
Look, Mom, look what I can do. You know, it's crazy.
I can make the fishies jump.
Imagine how fun that beach trip would be. Just
I think that'd be pretty.
Just
pretty
saying. Fun. Hey, you want to see a dolphin? You want to see me ride a dolphin? You want to see a dolphin ride me? Anyway.
Nice dolphin.
Flipper. Anyway, so after Alana's death, Arthur's father became determined to train him both physically and mentally so that he would one day be able to complete the control and control his powers. Arthur was also taught by his father to view himself as someone special, as a savior of the oceans, the king of the seven seas, if you will. Later, after his father's death, Arthur Curry would leave the lighthouse, which had been home to him and his family for years, to venture into the oceans and find his true destiny. He would later become the king of Atlantis and marry Mira, a visitor from the other dimensional water world known as Zebul. Arthur would also take young Aqualad under his wing and fight forces of evil side by side with the occasional help of his wife, Mira. And there is Mira.
She's so pretty.
And it has been rumored that Queen Mira is going to be in Justice League in a brief cameo. So we get to see.
Oh, I hope so.
We get
that
to see
awesome.
The queen in her royalty.
Very cool. Okay. Yes. Well, we're going to dive into the Golden Age Earth 2.
Okay.
Which is between about 1938, 1950-ish time frame. So in his first appearances in the comics, Arthur was able to breathe underwater and swim at high speeds and communicate with marine life. And he was seen to directly communicate with aquatic creatures rather than telepathically. And it worked best on sea life that were within close distances. Arthur also possessed superhuman strength inherited from his Atlantean ancestry. Although he was depicted as a sovereign of the seas with the entire ocean as his domain, it was never fully established that Aquaman explored the places across the world. Having an ancient temple of lost Atlantis kept underwater was his solitary throne. During his early adventures, most of Aquaman's enemies were Nazi U-boat commanders and Axis.
Let's just stop you right there. Those dang Nazis.
I know. They always pop up in these comics.
I'm
like,
telling you.
You know.
It's almost as if DC and Marvel had a vendetta against...
It's like they wanted to, you know, promote the war or something.
Well, if you think about it, the creators...
The time frame fits.
Well, no, the creators of Aquaman and the creators of Captain America were Jewish immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Get they it? Were. Holocaust?
They weren't fans. They were not fans they of were not the Nazis. Fans.
Yeah.
However, he was soon dealt with having to fight off the likes of various criminalized mariners, as well as other various threats to sea life and aquatic activities. Aquaman made his last appearance in More Fun Comics, number 107, and continued on in Adventure Comics, number 103, alongside Green Arrow and Superboy, starting in 1946.
And that would lead us, now, that was typically the golden age of Aquaman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty much his abilities and what we know of him in a nutshell between 38 and 1950. So as we graduate into the Silver Age, there's a little bit more to unpack. There's a little bit more of his story that's revealed in terms of like his telepathic powers and just some more details. So Aquaman's adventures continued in the Adventure Comics throughout the 1950s as one of the few superheroes to last through the decade in a continuous publication, also implying new elements along the way to expand Aquaman's mythology with the introduction of various supporting characters and slight adjustments to his original origin, powers, design, and persona. The first of these elements came about in the Ventures Comics 229 when they introduced Aquaman's sidekick, Octopus Topo. So he had a sidekick. And, you know, it's kind of funny, you know. Guardians of the Galaxy, they got a sidekick, they got Apollo, and Aquaman's got Topo. So that's pretty cool. Nice. Look at that. Look at that Ventures Comics. That is pretty neat right there. That's a good grab.
Can I just pause for a minute to say hello to Wagner down in the chat over there?
What's up, my friend? What's up, Wagner?
Thank you for stopping by to say hello.
Hello, Mr. Wagner. And continuing on with some of these Silver Age snippets in the Ventures Comics 260, it was revealed that Aquaman was the son of Tom Curry, as Lindsay pointed out, a lighthouse keeper with Atlanta. And an Atlantean royal princess banished from Atlantis due to her interest in the frequent visits to the surface world. Oh, those darn surface dwellers. Having been born half human, half Atlantean, not only was Arthur able to survive on land, but he was also able to breathe underwater without any grasp or gasps for air. He also possessed superhuman abilities such as his strength, communication to sea life, and accelerated swimming powers. Eventually, Arthur decided to use his talents to protect the ocean floor, venturing off as Aquaboy, soon having his first encounter with Superboy. At the time, was one of the only active superheroes on Earth. Later on, when Arthur grew up, he called himself Aquaman. And then it was then revealed that the death of Lana, Tom Curry later married an ordinary human and had a son named Orm. Orm grew up troubled as a troubled child and was always getting bailed out by Arthur. Being in the shadow of his brother, Orm grew up to have lots of hatred towards Arthur, not only for his powers, but he could never have any powers himself. But he also, you know, thought that, you know, his father favored Arthur more. So Orm eventually disappeared for some time and resurfaced years later as Aquaman's greatest adversaries, known as the Ocean Master.
Oh, I'm glad he had a change of heart.
I'm glad he did too. I'm glad that worked out for him. And the last snippet here from the Silver Age. During the Silver Age, Aquaman's ability to connect with sea life soon expanded to completely developed telepathic communication with aquatic creatures, even from great distances. However, he began to retroactively develop a specific weakness. Despite being depicted to have been able to breathe properly both in and out of water in prior stories, he is now required to make a contact with the water every other hour or he'll die of dehydration. Interesting. I did not know that.
Salt water or is it just fresh water? Or
I think it's just got to be the sea. He's got to be near the sea, so I would imagine salt water.
He's got to tap back into there.
Yep.
All right. Well, modern age Earth 2, which was from 1985 to today, present day, Aquaman's origins were altered when the universe was rebooted during the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Mm-hmm.
Now it gets a little twisted, you guys.
Get ready.
Whatever you know now, it's just going to start over.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So Orin was the son of Queen Atlana and Atlan. born heir to the throne of Atlantis. Knowing that King Trevis could not conceive a child with her, Atlan impregnated Atlana during a dream.
Oh, this sounds familiar. This
is trippy, but okay. Yeah, it sounds familiar. He soon prophesied the child's future and named him after his ancestor, Orin. Trevis immediately knew that it wasn't his son because of his blonde hair, who might possess the curse of Kordax. I don't know what the curse of Kordax is, but it doesn't sound very good.
It's not a good thing. No, it involves a lot of demons and parademons. It's okay.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. With great superstition, the baby was announced a miscarriage and left to die on Mercy Reef, where his ability to communicate with sea life allowed him to be raised by dolphins.
I told you he had trained by dolphins. Yeah, so look at that.
That's so crazy. You gotta love those dolphins. Okay, yeah. So his adopted mother, Horum, which is a dolphin, gave him the name Swimmer. Although he left his new family after a fisherman killed his adopted brother, Drin, his next encounter with humanity was Tom Curry, a lighthouse keeper who took him in as a son and named him Arthur Curry before his death. Then resided in Alaska, where he met and fell in love with Keiko. Is it Keiko or Keiko?
Keiko.
Keiko. Okay. While Keiko was pregnant, a demonic god named Nulijuk. I told you, Joe, you gave me all these hard
Nulijuk.
Nulijuk forced Arthur to leave before knowing about the pregnancy. Oh boy. So yeah. He doesn't even know.
Here we go. Days of our lives. Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. All right. His next confrontation with a god would be Poseidon's son, Triton, when he rescued the life of Princess Diana. Returning to Atlantis, Arthur was arrested and sent to hard labor in the Aquarium prison, where he found mentorship from Vulko, a former professor who taught him how to speak Atlantean. However, Arthur escaped after he had learned of his birth mother, who had died soon after his discovery. His first encounter with another superhero was The Flash, who named him Aquaman during a press conference in Crescent Shore after they had taken on the likes of the Trickster.
We know Mark Hamill played the Trickster on The Flash.
He did, and he did a great job, too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Upon his next return, Orin learns that Vulko had led a revolution and claims his birthright as the King of Atlantis.
This sounds like Loki and Thor battling out.
It sounds so crazy.
Yeah.
Though later on, this origin story would be recounted out by the writer Keith Giffen in the one-shot title, The Legend of Aquaman. To give way for a more modern approach, it has been adopted once more by writers Geoff Johns and Peter Tomasi as Aquaman's official background story for the 26-part maxi series Brightest Day. So first they were like, we're going to change everything. And then they were like, no, we're going to change it back. And then they're like, no, we're just going to keep the new version again. So yeah. It's like, yeah, make up your mind, guys. Seriously.
Yeah, and we know it's a lot to take in.
It is a lot. I had to read that like three times to be like, wait, what?
Yeah. So the reason why we included the modern age snippet, the whole section that Lindsay just read, is because there are huge chunks of this that are going to be used in the Justice League film. Mm-hmm. The part where he lives in Alaska, if you recall in the trailer, Batman, Ben Affleck, Batfleck, has to go up to a fisherman's village in Alaska to find Arthur Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So before we go into Killer Croc, do you have a preference on, do you like the original origin story or do you like the newer origin story?
The newer one is kind of complex for me. I mean, it depends on your age of Aquaman. Are you a golden ager or a silver ager or a modern ager? And so for me personally, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm more of a silver age, which adopts the traditional mind telepathy. And I like the story of his mom kind of, you know, being banned from Atlantis and washing up and being at the lighthouse and Tom finding her and then they fell in love. I like that story a little bit better.
Well, for me, not even knowing the original, the current story, and I've basically learned all of this tonight, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm a green comic book person, so this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this series, so I could learn. I actually like the original Aquaman story. I think that I can, you know, relate to that story a little bit more. That it gets a little more complicated
you would,
later.
Yeah.
So I kind of appreciate the original origin.
Let us know which one you like. And like I said, the modern age ones is just too complex. There's too much red tape. There's too much. It mirrors a lot of Loki and Thor. It mirrors a lot of other dynamics in which we've seen. And a lot of people, I'm going to drop this nugget, and a lot of people don't know it, but Aquaman predates Namor. So Aquaman, let me get that right. Hold on. Wait just a second. Namor predates Aquaman. Namor is the Submariner from Marvel Comics. And he came out, I want to say, around 1941, 1939. And then here's what happened. DC got a hold of the idea. Well, we want an underwater breathing superhero as well. Why don't we just make him, you know, give him Poseidon's staff and just make him a god instead of the Submariner. And so Marvel Comics for years has struggled trying to have Submariner, Namor, if you will, a part of their universe, whereas Aquaman just took the idea. Like Slade Wilson and Wade Wilson. Slade Wilson is Deathstroke in DC.
Yes.
Wade Wilson is a ripoff, and that is Deadpool in Marvel Comics.
It is.
Yeah, think about it. So there's a lot of ripping off back in the day. So yeah, whatever, whichever one. So moving on, we got Killer Croc coming up. And Killer Croc, this is our villain. And
he's going to be the bad guy.
Yes, this is our bad guy. So we saw him, of course, in Suicide Squad. Really amazing prosthetic, really great makeup. His original name is Waylon Jones. He was born with a condition that gave him a thick, scaly hide and razor-sharp claws teeth. As a child, he was relentlessly bullied because of his monstrous appearance. When he was only 8 years old, he snapped and almost killed one of his schoolyard tormentors. For that little incident, he spent the next 8 years of his life in reform school. He didn't like it much. Obviously, duh. Over his time, his contempt for humanity grew. And he started really hating people more, and so did his body. He started mutating to a grotesque proportions and becoming increasingly reptilian in appearance. The now, you know, sociopathic Waylon Jones celebrated his 18th birthday by becoming a cold-blooded murderer. He served 20 years for that crime and emerged from jail in Arkham to join traveling with the carnival. He quickly became the main attraction as the alligator wrestler known as the Killer Croc. It is worth noting that here, that Croc was first found a home and developed a niche for his heretofore ghastly appearance, if you will. The circus and its inhabitants became Waylon's family and had a circus. And had the circus been able to maintain him financially afloat, who knows if Waylon would have been able to turn to organized crime after all. But the circus was kind of his safe haven for a while. In the time, Waylon would turn from petty crime and Croc's ambitions and travels led him to Gotham. And this is where he started taking a turn for the worse, where he began to forge a criminal empire to make a new home. The rising to prominence by the elimination of the mob members who were accomplished rather quickly, his complete dominion over Gotham was followed by the native guardian known as Batman.
His
attempts to set up shop were repeatedly thwarted by Batman, but Waylon's ability to adapt have allowed him to carry on for many years in the sewers and the stinkiness of Gotham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one bad mamma jamma is what it sounds like to me.
He's a bad mamma jamma.
All right, well, in... the new 52 origin. So we gave a little bit of a mix up on him, but not too far off from his original. Much like his pre-Flashpoint incarnation, Waylon Jones was born with a rare condition that gave him scaly skin. He scrubbed daily to try to get the scales off and try to be normal, but he decided to give up because the pain it gave him to descale, it was just too much for him to descale himself every day. So he grew up to become Killer Croc and work for the Gotham Circus. He was paid to wrestle crocodiles, but his bosses kept most of the money.
Mm.
Furious by his boss's foolish choice, Killer Croc bit off his arm. Who in the world would tick off a person that was mostly crocodile? Yeah, I have no idea.
That's not possible. A good move. That's not going to be. No. That's not going to look good for you.
So after he was apprehended by the GCPD, he listened to two police officers joke about him, saying that he should stop while he's ahead and get a henchman. Killer Croc took this to heart, and he stopped being the musclehead brute, and he became more of a thinker. He gathered henchmen who were really just homeless people that worshipped Croc for taking them in. And Killer Croc now rules the sewers in Gotham with his own personal army.
Interesting.
Now that's smart.
So that's, yeah.
That's smart.
That's smart. That's, I like that origin story. I like that one. And so,
I like that one.
From the two different ones, We have kind of the original origin story, the new 52, and let's do kind of a quick modern age take on it, okay, if we can. And then we'll just kind of elaborate on which one's our favorite. So sure. This is coming from modern age New Earth, as we know, and DC recently rebooted everything. And so this is kind of adapting from that story arc. While Croc's physical size and power increased, his intellectual abilities diminished. This left him a virtual slave to primal desires and homicidal psychosis. He took refuge in Gotham sewers, and in Nightfall, which was a comic series under the Batman brand, Killer Croc attacked a shopping mall where Batman and Robin arrived later. After delivering several blows to Croc, Batman was distracted by a glimpse of Bane. Croc then grabbed Batman and tried to break his back. He failed, and Bane pitted himself against Croc, breaking his arms. He was then put back into Arkham Asylum. We're talking about Killer Croc here. Shortly after this era, a mysterious force beckons Croc to Louisiana swamplands. When he arrives there, it is revealed to be Swamp Thing, offering Croc a place among the bestial crocodiles in the swamps and a place for
permanent... There's that Swamp Thing name again.
For
he
permanent
keeps popping
refuge.
Up.
See, now Swamp Thing is a good guy, and you know, in the modern age New Earth story arc on DC, Swamp Thing actually did. I remember this story. He had compassion on him. His arms were broke. He was basically beaten down and really useless, and he had no place in Gotham. So Swamp Thing kind of said, "You know what? My home is your home. You can come and live here and be among." Where you feel comfortable? It's really a cool story.
I think that's really nice.
It is, and so that story does play on the arc. You know, he grew up as a kid normally, but he got this skin condition, and ended up. Yeah,
he's just an angry guy.
He just needs a little
with a weird skin condition.
Oh, so out of the three. We got the original origin, the new 52, and the modern new era. I would have to say I'm kind of torn between the new 52 and the modern, because
I'm a new 52 girl all the way. I'm pretty much solid on that. I think that we could bring in the ending, you know, eventually he gets tired of running his army, disbands it, and then he goes hangs out with Swamp Thing. That would be like my new 52 with my twist of modern thrown in there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And it was kind of sad because we really truly didn't get to see that origin story of Killer Croc and Suicide Squad. And they had plenty of time to put something in there because we saw the origin story of pretty much Harley Quinn and the Enchantress and everybody else. But poor old Killer Croc. What is it?
The mayor has arrived, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my
Cliff
God.
Bodenweiser Cliff, is in the chat.
Cliff
Hello,
B.W. Bodenweiser. Oh man! So if we're talking about Killer Croc, would he be Mayor. We got to come up with a name for him. What would be his hero name?
I don't know.
Super Mayor?
Super Mayor. I like it.
We'll go with it.
Well, let's cover his powers and abilities.
Okay,
real
okay,
quick.
Okay.
All right, so Waylon Jones was born with a rare skin condition similar to epidermolytic hyperkeratosis.
Bam.
Granting him scaly reptilian appearance. Yes, I practiced that one, people. As well as this, he also had super strength in that he can rip bank vault doors straight off the wall, near super speed and agility like that of an animal, and given to him by highly animalistic disease that he's, you know, as part of his development there. Killer Croc also maintains a powerful healing factor. Hmm. He's healed broken limbs and spinal injuries from Bane. He also possesses razor sharp claws and teeth. And Croc is also an expert swimmer. His reptilian genes give him more underwater aptitude. As his mutation has progressed, Jones has grown even further to resemble an actual reptile. And he is also he's an experienced alligator wrestler and street fighter.
You
don't want to make this guy mad. You want to stay on his good side, you know?
Yeah, and judging by the size of him, he's about 7.5-8 feet tall. And I don't actually have his card, but I want to say that Killer Croc comes in probably around several hundred pounds. So just think about
that.
Would
you say he's at least a 7-footer, probably 8?
I would say so. Let's go to the thing here.
Not counting the tail.
No. According
does
to
he have a tail? I don't remember.
I don't think he does. I think he's just very beastly looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just a beastly looking dude. But he is considered to be a mutant, by the way. I think that's worth pointing out. That is the cause of his genetic mutation, that he's a mutant. But as a matter of fact, I was talking about a game earlier. Remember the Injustice Gods Among Us? You can actually play as Killer Croc and beat Batman's bones down. Just saying. So if you want Bats to have his vengeance, you can do that.
So is he a mutant, like a meta-human kind of thing? Where
he would be in the meta category, yeah.
The meta category, sure. Gotcha.
Yeah, so he would definitely be in that frame of mind. Interesting villain. Interesting character altogether. Yeah. So, what do you think about what guys in the chat room? We got Zach, we got Luke, we got Cliff, we got Doug, we got Wagner. I want to say Wagner. I love saying it. I love saying his name. I want to say his name much more. Wagner. Yeah. Anyway. So let us know what you think about this week's origin stories of Aquaman and Killer Croc. And as always, be sure to leave us a little a note if you can on Facebook and on Instagram and Twitter. We already posted up all the graphics for this week's show. Let us know what you think about it. We'd love to get your feedback on this.
We're using a new hashtag this week, aren't we?
We are, as a matter of fact. And this is really cool. So we're kind of going away from the phone line and moving into more of the hashtag era. If you see something really exciting on the store shelves, or at your local comic book shop, or just in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know on social media with our brand new PopX tag. It is hashtag.
Gosh, if you guys get one of those classic Nintendos, I want a picture of it to see that it really exists.
Hashtag us at YoPopX. Look at that. YoPopX.
Yo!
Yo! PopX. So let us know if you got something really cool. Like Lindsay said, if you get one of those Nintendos, that is rumored to have released on November the 11th, but nobody has seen one.
It's like the Tickle Me Elmo of the geek world this year, you guys. Seriously.
I don't know.
I want one of those.
I don't know. I'm seriously dying for one, but I haven't seen one. If you use the hashtag, we could use your post in a future show right here on PopX Live. So be sure to hashtag YoPopX.
YoPopX. All right. Well, we are also a part of an amazing network, you guys. It's called Gunna Geek Network. Mm-hmm. For all things even more geeky, make sure you head over to gunnageek.com and check out some of the amazing podcasts that are on our home network. Also, make sure you follow us on all of our social media. Like Joe said a minute ago, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, Pinterest, and everywhere else. You can find us at PopXCast. And also, you can email us at PopXCast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from our listeners. So if you guys have any suggestions about show ideas or origin stories or what geeky things you're getting people for Christmas, I want to know. I want ideas.
I definitely amend that.
Send me your ideas. Also, for future and past shows, make sure you go to our official website, www.popxcast.com. And you can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, everywhere on the interwebs.
Awesome sauce.
Where can we find you?
Oh man, I don't know. Sitting right here in this chair with this big tree right behind me. I don't know.
I'm digging the tree.
Yeah. Zach Blum over in the chat room says, my brother's been looking so hard for the new NES and it's literally sold out. No matter where you are. I heard a rumor,
and I don't know if it's true, but I heard a rumor. I read it in an article and I heard it on a podcast that I think every day on Walmart.com at 5 p.m., I believe it's Eastern, they release a couple of them. So you have to be like super fast and get up.
Okay.
But, I could be wrong.
It's not worth that.
It's not. Just wait until next spring.
And I am Joe Berg at ROTCAV on the internet, Rotcav. And of course, hats off to amazing Team PopX here, Miss Lindsay Badger, holding down the chat and being my co-host this week in lieu of Austin's unfortunate spider bite. I don't know. I mean, maybe next time.
I really want him to have spidey powers when he comes back.
I hope when he comes back on that, you know, he's in his room and he's doing one of these numbers. And he's hanging from the ceiling. You know, he's like,
he needs to do the whole show like that.
He's like, hey guys, what's going on? So, you know, hopefully we get to see that. I don't know. Will we see that? I don't know. But I'd like to see that. But personally, and also I want to thank Mr. Mike Ippolito for doing our graphics and our slides over here
thank
in the
you,
big
Mike.
Window.
You do an awesome job. Oh, look at it.
Lurch.
Get the monster. Or the Adams family. It's the Adams family.
Anyway. Mike, I love you, dude. You never cease to amaze me. And I want to throw this out right quick. If you guys are around tomorrow night, November the 28th, yours truly will be guest hosting on our home network podcast, The Gonna Geek Podcast. They go live and the stream kicks off at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Just head over to geeks.live and enjoy the show tomorrow night with my fellow hombres from Gonna Geek. This is the first time I've been on their podcast and they've invited me. So it's really
that's
cool.
A super special honor. You know that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's going to get some nerdy stuff going on there. So please join us next week right here on PopX.live for December's to the 4th episode number 40. Oh my God, this is crazy. The History of Comics Part 4. The Dawn of the Silver Age. Look at that. So
I'm kind of excited about this.
This is the
know?
Finale. So we started this back on episode 10, The History of Comics Part 1. And then episode 20, part 2, part 3 was on episode 30. This is the finale. This is where comic books go from the page to the small screen from Batman and Hulk.
So if you guys have missed out on all those episodes, go back this week and listen to them and catch up with us. And then we're going to wrap it up next Sunday. So it's going to be.
It's going to be awesome. Well, from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. We will see you next week right here on episode 40. Holy cow, I can't believe next month we will be 1 year old. Holy cow. Where does the time go?
Not a year.
Yeah, 1 year. Yet. Well, next month. I'm
almost. It's getting close.
I'm putting it out there. I'm really excited. Can you tell I'm excited? I'm just a little bit excited. Okay.
Don't jump the gun.
Okay, I can't help it. I'm just really excited. Dang on it. Anyway.
That guy. Get out of here, Joe.
All right. You guys take care. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.